A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health here in Toronto. Cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, compassionate facility. Right now, it is Mental Health Awareness Week. This is the time when they need you most. This is the time when you can make a real difference when it comes to doing something about the mental health crisis and the devastating opioid epidemic, the overdose epidemic that we're currently experiencing, losing 20 people every day. They need your help. Donate at camh.ca/CanadaLand. To help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand.
John Semele, freelancer at the Globe and Mail and Toronto Star.
Jessica Walker, co-host of the Foodstuffs podcast. Welcome to Shortcuts. We should say that we are guest hosting in lieu of regular host and Canada Land scion, Jesse Brown, who is celebrating Yom Kippur. Happy atoning, Jesse. So if you're joining us, if you're a regular Canada Land listener, or go to CanadaLandShow.com, where you probably see a YouTube video of Jesse's smiling face, you know that it is pledge drive season. Canada Land is 90% of the way towards the goal of launching its own arts and culture podcast. Jessica, do you think that would be exciting, an arts and culture podcast sponsored by Canada Land?
I'm ready for a Canada Land arts and culture podcast, that's for sure.
What do we have here? We have Q, that's it. Shot. There needs to be more room for...
And a little more argument involved, which I think we can bring to the table.
Shad's too nice. just kidding, Shad.
Bless him.
Also, Canada Land recently published its first piece of long-form journalism, a long read that those of us sitting at our desks all day with nothing to do so enjoy. It was a piece of long-form journalism by Michael Lista about the Griffin Poetry Prize and its connection to a Saudi arms deal. If you support Canada Land, it means you'll get more long-form pieces like this that we all enjoy. If you can give a buck a month, that's great. If you can give more than that, that's better than great. There's more neat stuff that Canada Land wants to give you, so please give generously at patreon.com/CanadaLand.
This episode of Shortcuts is also brought to you by FreshBooks, the painless billing solution for cloud accounting. FreshBooks makes it very simple for journalists, freelancers, small business people, and entrepreneurs to send invoices, track your expenses, and do your taxes. You can use FreshBooks free for 30 days by going to freshbooks.com/CanadaLand. If you do decide to become a paying member, tell them who sent you. You will be supporting this program. Thank you to FreshBooks.
This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. Right now, there is an opioid crisis. Right now, there is a mental health crisis. But right now, it is Mental Health Week. And what that means is you can do something about these crises. You can help people. You can help CAMH save lives. They offer treatment with dignity, and they are doing cutting-edge research. I don't know if anybody listening to this is untouched by this crisis. You can see it in the downtown of every city in this country. You certainly feel it in Toronto. This is not something happening to other people. These are our friends. These are our communities, our families. We are all touched by addiction. We are all touched by the mental health crisis, and we all share responsibility to do something about it. Helping CAMH is something you can do about it. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where nobody is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help them treat addiction and build hope. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does help. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. That's BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand.
Well, we do have a special guest.
So yeah, we have Jane Litvinenko, CanadaLand editor in-house, chilling with John and I.
Hey guys, you already did a better job of pronouncing my name than Jesse did.
Yeah, well, I'll take that.
I hope he's atoning for
Thank
it
you.
Today.
Yes.
So Jane, what's on your mind?
Mohamed Fahmy is on my mind, who's a Canadian journalist who's been jailed in Egypt, in and out of jail in Egypt since December 2013. And he was finally pardoned today in a presidential pardon, which was quite unexpected. And it's certainly not a win for Canadian politicians who've been, sure, advocating on his behalf, but widely criticized for not being loud enough.
Yeah, well, can you kind of explain that a bit? Because I think a lot of people will read this. We're kind of in the eye of the storm right now, where it just happened, the stories are just coming out. But I can imagine by the end of the week, not only the papers and the press, but the candidates for prime minister spinning this in their favor, being this is a triumph, we got this guy out.
And Rob Nicholson actually said that this was a priority of the government, and he's pleased that Fahmy's released, even though the Canadian government has been very widely criticized for not taking enough action on this. From my understanding, the Canadian embassy in Egypt has been working on Fahmy's release, but all Stephen Harper has done is send out one tweet about it.
That he didn't even compose.
Yeah, Stephen Harper, exactly. The keyboard activist.
That's it. Did you see the letter that someone in his office sent to the CJFE?
Yeah, I actually have it in front of me right now. Do you want me to read it?
What are the odds?
Yes. Prepared, yes. Jane Litvinenko.
Always prepared. On behalf of the Prime Minister, thank you for your correspondence regarding Mohamed Fahmy. We understand your special interest in this important matter and appreciate the opportunity to review your input. We know you will understand that because of the federal election, which has been called for October 19th, the Prime Minister is currently occupied with campaign activities and will be unable to respond personally. However, please know that we've taken careful note of your concerns. And they proceed to advise CJFE contact the Minister of State, Lynn Yelich.
Now, this is the Prime Minister, same Prime Minister of Canada, I must say, whose Facebook and social media feed, while he's campaigning, half of it is just like chilling on the bus with Ben, playing Xbox, reading my iPad with my wife. Like,
double
where
deuces.
Most people are out doing things, him and his bus.
Super chill.
Yeah, it's the most key relationship in his life. So I don't buy
Entourage.
That he doesn't have time to get an intern or sub-intern to formulate yet another supportive tweet.
Exactly.
I mean, this is basically the elevator music of responses. It
yeah.
doesn't say anything.
It's so boring. It sounds so customer servicey. It sounds like I'm calling TELUS or whoever. And yeah, they're just really trying to placate without saying, like you said,
absolutely.
A damn thing.
This is definitely a win for the activists in the media who've been very viciously advocating for all journalists jailed, not just mm-hmm. Fahmy released. And it's actually a few journalists are still remaining in jail now. It's only Fahmy and his colleague who were released on pardon today, which he himself said he was very surprised by.
I know that Fahmy last night was thinking about the potential, maybe this might happen, but that he was so shocked. There's this beautiful video of him with his wife. And yeah, you can just see it kind of hitting him. And it really is beautiful. But yeah, was this a surprise or was this not a surprise?
There have been a lot of false positives in this case. And I think the atmosphere around this potential release was of cautious optimism. It wasn't necessarily entirely a surprise because right now the Eid celebrations are going on, and that is when many governments in the Middle East choose to show their goodwill and choose to pardon prisoners. They had hoped that last year this would happen same time last year, which it didn't. But at the same time, Fahmy himself is very surprised by this release, and so are his lawyers. So it's definitely a little bit of good news when they weren't sure it was going to come.
Great news for Fahmy, obviously, and for the activists who work towards this. But we should be wary about letting our government and our leaders sort of co-opt it, as they almost certainly will.
The Canadian government has asked Fahmy to give up his Egyptian citizenship a while back in order to secure his release, which he did. And it still dragged on for almost a year after that. So I'm not sure how much journalists can rely on the help of the Canadian government if this type of situation ever happens again, which it could, because this says nothing about journalistic freedom in Egypt. It's just a way to quiet a high-profile case before the Egyptian president has to appear at the UN National Council later this month.
Yeah, I just find it so interesting. He seems like a bargaining chip. I'm not the first person to use that word, but he seems like a commodity that's kind of being tossed around in global politics.
Although brilliantly, he will be a journalist in residence at University of British Columbia. So,
which is awesome for them, and awesome congratulations them. To them. But it's sad that, considering how outspoken he was, really his number one advocate, right? And it's really sad to know that he's not going to be kind of in the midst of this area that probably needs a voice that is that strong and that outspoken.
So earlier this week, the Ottawa Citizen reported that there is a new sort of public affairs, public relations program, an anti-public relations program being released by the branch of National Defense in Canada, which Defense Staff General John Vance is calling the weaponization of public affairs. Now, this is something that's been coming up in the news a lot lately, I would say, with regards to the Conservative government, is that journalists are sort of upset that they're not going to be getting as many leaks from the government. This sort of program says that they'll only be helping friendly journalists with stories about the military. And if you're, and this is a quote, a pesky journalist, there should be nothing but pesky journalists, in my opinion. They're going to call your boss up and yell at you if you report a story in the way that the Department of Defense doesn't like. To this, I got to ask, what do journalists expect?
What do journalists expect? And I don't understand really how they're using the word weaponization so freely. That is shocking to me. But this, it just seems like an affirmation of what has been happening and what will continue to happen. And it is completely predictable, especially from this government, I would expect.
Well, see, that's the thing I don't know about. Is it a partisan thing? I mean, let's say, would the Liberal Department of Defense or branch of defense be willy-nilly handing out information that they didn't want anyone to know? I mean,
I guess my version of things in my mind, in my made-up land, is that in the past, I guess with the Conservatives, they are running a tight ship, and anyone who were to sneak off down the hallway and slip a brown envelope would be found out and would be reprimanded in some way, versus in the past, each representative can kind of speak for themselves where needed. Like if they didn't necessarily agree wholly with the party line, they might be able to slip convenient information.
To me, I mean, I think government transparency is a good thing, but especially when we're talking about, you know, the branch of defense, military affairs, there's a point where this sort of cry among journalists for more transparency strikes me as naive, I guess. But in a way, I think it'll only end up hurting General John Vance, because phrases like weaponization of public affairs being strategically leaked in the media only makes them look like weird jingoists, even in terms of PR. So in the end of the day, the irony is it's not going to do them any favors at all.
No.
There's been a mountain of ink, Twitter posts, conversations, public and private, crazy accusations. It's time for understanding. It's time to heal up, because the world is a dark place. When dialogue and understanding breaks down in the press or on social media in our own homes, the forces of darkness stand around us and rub their sweaty fucking palms together. Four Guys from Calgary chose a really bad band name. Four Guys from Calgary also happened to make one of the best albums that came out of this country in a decade. And it's time to heal up, and it's time to let the music talk. Ladies and gentlemen, Four Guys from Calgary.
So that was Dan Buckner?
Beckner?
Beckner, Buckner, of Operators, formerly of Wolf Parade, introducing Four Guys from Calgary at the Polaris Prize. Did you watch the Polaris Prize stream
certainly
the other night?
I did not. I really didn't.
I tuned in happenstantially right when this was coming on, which was really the only thing I was at all interested in.
Yeah, you and the rest of the music-inclined country, I guess.
Yeah, and as he sort of said there, I mean, for one thing, that speech, especially if you saw it, he's kind of hunched over. It sounds like kind of bad Jello Biafra spoken word, you know, they're rubbing their sweaty fucking faces.
Yeah.
But the controversy was around the band Viet Cong.
Formerly known as
Viet Cong. I'm sorry if that's offensive. I have no other way of saying it, really. Mm-hmm. The People's National Liberation Army. And there was a lot of controversy. He said mountains of words, mountains of ink, perhaps not ink, ink's digital equivalent.
Right.
About if this is a racist band, if they should be forced to apologize at the Polaris Prize, if their name is silly. And certainly in my corner of the internet, it's all that people have been thinking about and talking about, it would seem. But I'm wondering if you have any sort of reaction to Dan's sort of claim that when people are trying to establish a dialogue, it's actually tearing the media apart.
Well, I just want to kind of dive into what you were talking about in your little synopsis and note that he didn't actually say anything specific. He was so hands off. He was really, really elusive. Who are these dark forces that he's talking about? This is the overarching question that was going around my social media for sure. Facebook, Twitter has been alight, to say the least, but I will out myself as someone who is not interested in this aspect of Canadian culture directly, but I have a ton of friends who are involved, who are interested and who are invested. And I gotta say, that was not a satisfactory introduction on the night. And it is offensive that, you know, he couldn't even call out what the name was. Was the name even said during?
Fred Penner said it, which was kind of fun. Between him and Buffy St. Marie, I think probably the only people in the room to have a actual lived historical memory of the Vietnam War. But I mean, I think the media sort of fallout that came after it, before there were a lot of pieces about on Exclaim, it's not your history, it's not your thing to reclaim. And first of all, if I may say, maybe I should be doing PR for these guys or something. But if you're in sort of like a heavy noise art rock punk band and you have an offensive name like this, it takes one sentence to be like, we're reclaiming this, we're taking back something that has historical trauma in a sort of potent political way. You say that, admittedly, that's also kind of bullshit and not everyone would buy it, but it's certainly better than saying we picked the name because we thought it sounded cool.
I know,
and when our bassist was holding his guitar, it looked like he was holding a gun. So
work a little harder, everyone.
Yeah.
You know.
But when you start kind of doubling back on this and saying, well, I think that this band's name is racist, you're essentially, I think, undermining the total spirit of the award. I mean, if a band called Stalin is Terrific made the best Canadian album in a year, I think that should be enough. So to me, that sort of attitude, if these sort of things are going to play into what the Polaris is supposed to be, I wonder why it exists.
Is everyone familiar with the term gaslighting?
Yes.
Right? It's basically the idea of presenting with an issue and being told that you're crazy where you're not actually crazy. Someone's just telling you that you're crazy. I think that for a lot of people that I know that are small-time musicians or getting started or early on in their careers, hopefully, the whole thing is that it seems like a meritocracy, but this kind of outed itself as this is not a meritocracy. There is a status quo. There are people fighting for the status quo. You're not insane. Johnny Regalado has the proof for all to see in black and white. And there's a brashness that comes through in all of that, an ego that comes through that amongst 200 jurors, I'm okay saying these really caustic things because I am cool enough that no one's going to out me or something like that. It was extremely off-putting and kind of reinforced my feeling about the whole situation to begin with.
I mean, I had problems with that Canada Land story, if I may say. Mostly just publishing sort of private emails and forum stuff feels a bit dicey to me. Although, of course, I enjoyed the schadenfreude of seeing these people sort of iced out like this. But if I may say, if there's one thing that stuck with me from this whole thing, it's writers self-identifying as grammar nerds and correcting other writers in an informal environment about uses of where versus where and its versus its.
To detract from the main point that is happening, I will argue.
Yeah, to detract from the main point that is happening, I think that maybe it's just me, but if anyone identifies as a grammar nerd, you have to seriously reevaluate your life and what you're putting stock in.
Yeah, it's pretty basic, guys.
At the end of the day, we can fix the Polaris by having fewer self-identified grammar usage wonks on the jury. Steve Jordan, if you're listening, just my 2 cents. So that was your Canada Land Shortcuts, guest hosted Canada Land Shortcuts for this week. Jesse will be back. Of course, you can always email Jesse. He reads them all and he responds when he can. He's at jesse@canadalandshow.com and on Twitter at Jesse Brown. Jessica Walker, where can people find you?
At Foodstuffs Life, which is for my podcast. And John Semley, where can people find you?
At JohnSemley3000. Follow me. Get annoyed. Unfollow me by the end of the day.
The website is at CanadaLandShow.com and the crowdfunding site is Patreon.com/CanadaLand. This show is produced by Katie Jensen.
Who is amazing.
Who is lovely and wonderful and so helpful. Jesse will be back for a new episode of Canada Land on Monday and the next episode of Canada Land Commons will be out on Tuesday. If you like this show, please support it.
With money.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.